We join in prayer. Father, we would pray that we would be men and women who tremble before your word, who trust in you, who rely on you, who are carried by you, and therefore in awe of you. Please help us as we hear your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. How is authenticity tested? How is authenticity tested? Over a lifetime, the uncle who makes authentic Langzor, I'm not sure if I said that, Langzor handmade noodles in the city near UTS shows it through a lifetime of making a bowl of awesomeness day in, day out. The student shows their authentic interest in study or gaming by the hours they pour into it day in and day out. And the mom who takes care of all three meals for all three children, including dad, changing their clothing, doing the laundry, and juggling a part-time job, shows her love and care in getting all these things done somehow, day in, day out. Their authentic care for Langzor handmade noodles, study or games, and their family is tested day in and day out. So if authenticity is tested over a lifetime, then for the Christian, what we do day in, day out, over a lifetime, seals like a stamp the authenticity of who we are as Christians and the faith we hold. And so John sets out the first test for what it is to be an authentic Christian in verses 3 and 5. In these two verses, John is bringing together the fact that daily life is inseparable to spiritual life. Therefore, what we do day in, day out shows where our lives are spiritually. Let's read together. Verse 3, and by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Verse 5, but whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. So what these two verses are saying, in light of the fact that spiritual life is inseparable to our daily life, is that number one, obedience to God in our daily lives expresses the truth that spiritually we know God. Number two, obedience to God in our daily lives expresses the truth that spiritually the love of God is perfected in us. But what does this all mean? Let me ask you some questions. At work, is your work ethic spiritual? At school, is the way you spend lunchtime spiritual? At home, is the manner of how you look after your children spiritual? On the road, is the way you give way in traffic, which I personally find quite difficult, spiritual? Yes. So what are these commandments we are to obey that have both daily and spiritual significance? Well, John helps us here in chapter 3, verse 23, which reads, this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another. These two commandments are together, you see, inseparable, just like your daily and spiritual life. I mean, we've heard it before when Jesus says in Matthew, you shall love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. It is the vertical relationship with God followed by the horizontal relationships. if you believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, meaning you know his love for you, then you will be loving towards, if you look left and right, towards one another. So is this set of commands limited to 9:45 and 11:30 on Sundays? And when we occasionally, God forbid, bump into someone from church during the week? I don't think so. I think it means the command to believe in the name of Christ and love for one another is a truth, not for a compartmentalized part of life, but for all of life. Day in, day out. And your obedience to these commandments will test the authenticity of your faith. And as you keep believing in Christ and loving one another in his name, you'll find that the love of God is being perfected in you. What does this mean? That the love of God is being perfected in you? It means that it is a sign of God's power at work in you. It means that the love you have for God is being perfected in you as you love him and love others. Let me ask you a question. Do you ever doubt your faith? Do you ever look back at your day and wonder if you are in Christ? Then here's hope. When you feel led to prayer, regardless of whether it is in thanksgiving or crying out to him in desperate need, when you are led to read the Bible, when you are led to be patient and kind to friends, enemies, and family who at times can feel like the enemy, it is an opportunity for you to be astounded. It is an opportunity to once again be led to prayer and thanksgiving. It is an opportunity for you to be excited. For in these things you may rest assured that they did not come from your natural disposition or your natural character, but they come from the Spirit of the risen Lord Jesus, actively at work in you. Meaning, yes, you are in Christ. Spiritually, where you stand is safe in him. But on the other hand, what if you don't doubt your faith? In fact, you feel very secure about your faith. What if, even though as a fact you are secure in your faith, yet you feel no vitality or active joy in your daily life in Christ? I find this question personally challenging. And it's this: have you found the daily walk of obedience, of being a Christian, dull? Have you lost much of its joy? Have you looked at the mundane things of life which you are called to and you cannot see God's faith and love towards you anymore? Have you found prayer? Have you found the word and the love for others something that as a mature Christian you have moved beyond? Then sing to God of this if any of these resound with you, for it is an opportunity to repent, to turn to him as you have been led to realize you have lost your first love for God that you once held. And isn't it something that's quite frequent in our lives? It happens quite often to lose sight of the love of Christ and for others we once had when we first believed, when we first felt his irresistible call to himself. Can you think back and remember how sweet your prayers were, how earnest your reading was, and how love-riddled your care was for others? The real question boils down to, Christian, in your daily walk, have your eyes grown dim, your stride become weak, and your shoulders slouched, even though you are being carried on the shoulders of Christ Himself. Then dip your hands once more into the deep well called the grace of God and drink deep. All who are weary and thirsty, that is you and I. It's not just the doubters and repeat sinners, that's you and I. It is an opportunity for you to grab your status of being in Christ with both hands and drink deep of His grace daily. There you will, like the prophet Isaiah says in chapter 40, find that when you drink of His grace, your strength will be renewed. You shall mount up with wings like eagles. You will run and not be weary. You will walk and not faint. Christian, are you in Christ? If so, your obedience is fueled by a knowledge of God's grace and love towards you. Obedience to which commandments? To believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another. The authentic Christian's life is one marked by obedience through faith in Christ and love for others. Let's turn to the next scenario of authentic living in verse 4. Verse 4. Whoever says, I know Him, but does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. People tell me quite often, you're lying, you're not Korean. If I ask them, what? Why am I not Korean? The reason they state is, you don't eat kimchi. Kimchi, for those who don't know, is the Korean traditional food that the whole nation eats and identifies with. It's pickled cabbage. Yes, it's pickled cabbage that our nation identifies with. It's kind of like what the meat pie is to Australia. And just because I don't eat the national dish, well, I'm labeled a liar, and the truth about my national identity somehow is not in me. Doesn't sound right? Well, it's a true story. But let's be serious. What happens when we are faced not with a generalized truth, but an absolute truth? What happens when truth hurts? What do many of us do? We deny it. And in doing so, we lie to ourselves. Verse 4 points to the fact that disobedience is denial and therefore is lying to ourselves, hoping that the truth does not catch up to us, even though we know it's true. And therefore, the life of disobedience in the one who calls himself a Christian is a life of denial of his own identity. Because, well, he's a liar. The guy who says just one more drink, which turns into a few rounds while his children and wife wait for him at home, has denied his identity as a father. The student who says just one more game at 3 a.m., knowing they have two assignments due the next day, has denied his identity as a student. And therefore, the Christian who says just one more secret sin is a Christian who has denied his identity as a Christian. Denial of who you really are is the opposite of authenticity. It's lying to yourself. But what does this disobedience and denial point to in the fake or empty Christian? 1 John 2, 3 to 6 would say that it points to the fact that the empty Christian who does Christian rituals, they never knew God. Or they may claim to know him. I can claim to know all about ice hockey on TV. But put me in the ice rink, and you'll probably be watching a sad rendition of the March of the Penguins on National Geographic. For when, and just like me in the ice rink, the one who claims to be Christian may also be the one who never knew God. For when their daily life is inseparably tied to their spiritual life that is tested over time, it's not obedience, it'll be disobedience that will characterize their life over time. This does not mean, of course, that those who know God have some sort of perfect obedience that they can achieve in this life, wherein they will never fail to obey God's commands, but rather that those who do know God won't have lives marked by disobedience. Their lives will be characterized by obedience to the commands of God. But hear this carefully. For the one who never knew God and lives in disobedience by their denial of him in their lives, yet will call themselves a Christian. Ironically, they themselves will be denied when they are tested. For the Son of God they have claimed to know will deny them because of their empty claims of knowing him in their lives of disobedience. The words of Christ from Matthew 7:21-23 read, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will or obeys the commandments of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness, or ones who did not regard or obey my word.'" The one who lies to others of their Christian faith sits in the desperate prison of not only lying to themselves daily, but they will also be securing their isolation from God, which is seen in their life day in and day out. That is, their life will show absence of faith in Christ and absence of love for others, and in turn it will mean that they will be absent of God's love for them eternally. The commands are to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another. Does this characterize your life day in and day out? Or are you lying to yourself? Let's move to the last two verses, verses 5 and 6. Verse 5, "By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked." What do people turn to when they need assurance and comfort? What do people turn to when they need assurance and comfort? Chocolate. Or a tub of ice cream. Perhaps a long hug, a shoulder to lean on, or even a comforting word that is telling them that everything will be okay. And these two verses are that sweet, sweet chocolate. It's that tub of ice cream. It's that long hug. It's that shoulder to lean on, and that comforting word that everything will be okay. Why? Because it looks at the evidence and then prescribes assurance. Just like a chemist. Do you have coughing and a runny nose? Then you have a cold. In the same way, does your life of obedience in faith and love for others look like Jesus' obedience in faith and love for you, then you are an authentic Christian who abides in Christ. You are being told not to doubt it, but to believe it and take the truth in Christ's obedience in faith and love for you and drink from it and abide in it, live in it daily. For how can you follow someone if you do not know them well? That's why when we read 1 John so far in chapter 1 and 2, we find descriptions of Jesus that are true and should ring for those who know him. Jesus is the word of life made manifest to not only the apostles, but to us also. Jesus is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Jesus is the faithful and just one who cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And Jesus is our advocate with the Father. This Jesus Christ, the righteous. Do you believe in him? Then when the question is asked, who are you when you are in Christ? You may answer that you are one whose life looks like his because of who he is and his obedience in faith and love he has shown to you. The ministry of Jesus in his life, in his death and resurrection, will be your assurance to know that you are in him. And it is this gospel, this good news, that compels you to live like him. I started with these examples and I'll end with them also. Does obedience in faith and love for others characterize your life like the scalded hands of the uncle who makes authentic Lang Zor handmade noodles day in and day out? Does your obedience in faith and love for others characterize your life like the calloused right thumb of the student who studies late into the night? And does obedience in faith and love for others characterize your life like the rough hands that were once soft of a mother that has washed and cleaned one too many times? Whether it does or does not, the prescription is the same. It will encourage the one who is in Christ, and it will turn the one who is not in Christ to him. The prescription is, look at the pierced hands, his feet, and side, and know God's great love for you. Then look at his life of obedience that he is working in you by his Spirit as you trust and obey him day in and day out. And this assures you of the fact that you are in Christ. Just like Thomas who doubted, Christ's words to us are you still doubting? Doubt no more. Trust and obey, just like that song. For there is no other way to be happy in who? In Jesus, is to trust and obey. Just once? No, day in and day out. Not only will your life show who you follow, it will show that you are safe in who you follow. Why? Because Jesus has been authentic with you in who he is by carrying you, and he will continue to carry you day in, day out, as you are called to take up your cross daily and follow him. This command of Jesus that says, take up your cross daily and follow me, will be the command that confronts you day in and day out. And it will determine where you stand spiritually, safe in Christ or utterly crushed by following who you know best, which is yourself. When Jesus asks you to take up your cross and follow him, will your life show you are an authentic Christian? Or will you be lying to yourself? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, that it is able to shape us, that it informs us of the knowledge and love of Christ. Would you make it afresh in us daily as we look to be people who follow you? Help us to be people whose lives are characterized by the obedience in faith and love for others for your glory. And we would ask these things knowing that you give great reassurance to us daily by your Spirit. Amen.